Burkbot, introduction.
Hello, I am Burkbot. This is the 5-Point Podcast. This week we are reviewing Time of Eve. Bobcat, what are the 5 points?
Okay, 5 points. I suppose I'll do it myself, you insolent little machine.
Why do you hate me?
Because you're a dirty, dirty robot. The League is right about you.
I have emotions, too.
No, you don't.
This makes me feel sad.
As well it should. So, here at the 5-Point Podcast, we look at the first 3 episodes of an anime to decide if it's worth your time. This week, we went with a very oddball series suggested by Mad Shadow, called, like Burke said, Time of Eve. And as a result, we're doing a different setup than we normally do.
Meatbag, Bobcat, why are you not telling the 5 points?
I'm getting to there. This show is only 6 episodes long, and most of them aren't normal length for an anime episode, so we decided to just watch the whole thing. So, as
Add-on information, that and it was a request by user Matt Shadow.
Very good, Burkbot. This is sort of the equivalent of one of our movie reviews this week, so expect us to spoil many things that we wouldn't be able to spoil otherwise. Here at the 5-Point Podcast, we analyze anime based on 5 different characteristics. First impression, what was our first thoughts about it going in? What did we already know about it? Story, the plot, the setup, the world, etc. The characters, self-explanatory. Presentation, things like animation, music, voice acting, anything else that doesn't fit under the first 3 categories. And then our final thoughts. Would we recommend the show? Did we enjoy it personally, etc.?
Very good, sir.
Thank you, Burkbot.
Ben, what are you doing? What is this?
This is,
Hello.
Go to hell! Okay, now
Burkbot,
we're gonna do this.
No! Now I understand that robots had feelings and I love them!
Oh, God. Okay, we're doing this correctly. Bobcat, you suck, and I am going to punch you in the face just as soon as we're done here, because I'm not being replaced by any machine that I didn't personally invent.
But you did invent Burkbot. You've used him before.
Yes, but then you tampered with him. Seriously, he complimented you. What the crap is that?
You know, Burke, sometimes it's nice to hear good things about yourself.
First point. First impressions.
Right. So, Burke,
the important person will go first and interrupt you. Ha ha. Honestly, I was looking forward to this. It was one of our first real requests, and really, on a spiteful note, it was actually requested to me and not Bobcat. And that always makes me smile. But I didn't know anything about the plot going into it. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what the setup would be. I didn't know how long the episodes would be, or the style, or anything.
I came in with a little bit more information, and just as a clarification, it's not that our requests from friends and loved ones aren't real requests, it's just, it's different to get a request from somebody that you don't know personally. It means that we have at least one person who follows us that we didn't invite to it, if that makes sense.
Also, we don't actually have loved ones because we don't love anyone. It's in our
Maybe
contract.
You don't.
It's in our contract.
I don't remember signing that.
Oh, you did. You may have been asleep because of roofies, but you did.
Anyway, I came into this with a bit more information than Burke did because I had seen at least one Desu Des mini-review of this, I think from Vixen. I don't remember what she had to say about it. I decided not to watch it before this because, you know, this is about my opinion, not hers. But I remember it being semi-complimentary at best.
And really, quite frankly, you couldn't pull off her outfit. You don't have the breasts. I'm sorry.
It's my cross to bear, Burke.
Well, you gotta bear something.
So, Burke came into this kind of hopeful. I came into this a little apprehensive. Because I'll admit, this isn't usually a topic I really care about.
Yes, there have been previous issues. If we ever get to the movie Avatar, we'll get to explore those in full. Spoiler alert, we're never getting to the movie Avatar.
If we've run out of things to review and we're reduced to reviewing Avatar, we're hanging up our hats and calling it a good day.
And we don't even wear hats.
We'll get hats for the specific purpose of hanging them up and calling it a good day.
Can our hats be nooses so that we can hang ourselves afterwards?
No, I'd prefer not to.
But I have yours all picked out. It's neon pink and it has Pinkie Pie on it.
Well, you know, that is tempting, but speaking of characters, let's move on to story. Wait, that transition doesn't work at all. Oh well.
Folks, this is why I do all the transitions and why he ruins them! Ruiner!
No, Burke, sometimes I just have to get my spite on.
Ruin.
So,
wait, your spite on. Is that like getting your spider on?
That's like getting your drink on. Anyway, let's talk about the actual show. So every episode starts off with a little text thing, helpfully translated, that says, it's the near future, robots have been used practically for a long time, and androids are starting to be used in everyday life, or some such.
What they mean specifically by that is the difference between a robot and an android, for those who do not know, and if you do know, then I'm just going to insult your intelligence anyways, because you're listening to me, and I can.
Well, Burke, that just sort of goes without saying.
Yes. I'm a very insulting person. That's kind of the thing. Anyways, robots are non-human robotic entities that may or may not have an advanced AI. In this show, they tend to be vaguely humanoid, very vaguely in some cases, but ultimately you're not going to mistake one for the other. Androids, on the other hand, are completely human, and the only reason you can tell them apart from a normal human is because they have a holographic halo that... Wait, how does that even work? Are there holographic projectors in their hair, or...?
I was trying to figure that out, and I couldn't think of any technology that would make that happen that I'm aware of.
Okay, look, spoiler alert, all the androids are saints, so whenever they're out in public, they have halos. There, that's your answer.
Well, the other thing is that when they pull up their shirts, it's like the parts of them that you can't normally see, they don't bother to put skin on.
Yeah, or at least human skin, anyways. They have robo skin.
The opening is always kind of coy. It says, you know, in the not-too-distant future,
somewhere
possibly
in time and space.
You know, I was going to do that, but I thought you'd mock me for it. Now I feel bad.
That's because Mystery Science Theater is the best show ever made, ever of all time, and you should never, ever feel bad about doing anything with it.
Anyway, and it's
you're still a nerd.
It always coyly says, oh, it might be Japan. It's Japan.
Yeah.
There's no other country in the world it could be besides Japan. Okay, maybe South Korea, but...
Well, that's
no, this
just...
is Japan.
That's kind of like a tiny Japan that has a very obnoxious and insane and very, very unstable neighbor that's not named China, but it also has a neighbor named China. Yeah, it's...
Actually, South Korea doesn't share a border with China. But we're getting off topic.
Well, no, but that's because North Korea does.
Right. So,
neither does Japan.
So in this world, there's a lot of anti-robot prejudice, in the form of people treating a robot basically like you'd treat a toaster.
Yeah, we'll cover that a little bit more in character.
And there's this whole, I can't remember what they called it, was it the Ethics League or something like that, the Ethics Council?
You're asking me for the proper name of a thing in a show.
You're right, what was I thinking?
You weren't.
There's like a robot hate league that constantly runs advertisements saying, don't get too close to robots.
It's basically the propaganda from Futurama ad nauseum without any of the actual common sense from it. Go ahead, you first.
No, one thing I noticed was that while I think that they might have a point in a few areas, at least as far as Japan's specific situation and some of the ethics of it, they're also portrayed as being rather stupid. Like,
yes.
The most common ad they run is a picture of a robotic hand crushing a tomato, saying, would you eat food prepared by a machine?
Yes! Yes, I would! I do it all the time!
Yeah, it's called the Industrial Revolution. Even organic crops, a machine will have used it at some point.
Dear God! That just... Wow!
It's bizarre.
These people have... I don't necessarily agree with it. Our views differ on this matter, but they have legitimate concerns on some degree, but they are just morons.
Best case scenario is that they're being disingenuous with the ads and they're just trying to come up with something that will stick in people's minds.
Which is still really, really stupid, but, you know, whatever.
At least it would mean that they didn't actually believe that nonsense.
Yeah, otherwise they'd be starving.
Because actually, and this is what makes me think, okay, there's no way this isn't Japan. They were saying, thanks to robot farmers, Japan can now sustain itself almost. You know, the trouble I have with that is, I don't see how robots would improve the yields that much, since...
No.
Yield improvement tends to come more from fertilizers and improved strains of the seeds and such, but...
Proper land.
We need to get out of talking about the nuts and bolts of the world and actually talk about the story it has to tell.
Right. That's the thing about this story. A lot of it is really built up by the world it's in. It's a character-driven story, and the characters are shaped by their environment.
I don't know that I would necessarily call this a character-driven story, because... Okay, let me rephrase that. This is a story about the characters, but... There are some stories where you come up with the characters and the world is built so that the characters have a good stomping ground. Like, just an example from something we've done so far. You could put Joey from Hero Man in just about any environment, and he'd still be Joey.
Yeah.
You could not take the characters from this and put them in a different environment and get the same sort of story.
That's why I prefaced that with the whole fact that the characters are shaped by their environment.
What I'm trying to say is that the writer came up with their world first and then made characters to explore it.
Yes, but that doesn't really change the fact that it is a character-driven story. The thing that drives the plot of the story are the characters. They may not drive the plot of other stories, but they do drive the plot of this one.
Yeah, I suppose. It's just like, I think it's an important distinction.
I don't really take the term too literally myself. They're the most important thing, and they're the driving force behind this story.
Well, I just thought about it because a while back I read a book on writing by the guy who wrote Ender's Game, and he was going through the different sorts of stories, and he made the distinction between whether you were being like Lord of the Rings and your story was an excuse to explore your world, or whether the characters were just sort of meant to exist for their own sake.
But we're getting off topic here, folks.
Yeah, that seems to happen a lot with this one. Okay, so we can divide the story into three sections, because it's only 6 episodes long, we've watched the whole thing, and this is your last chance. If you're afraid of spoilers, close it now. Thanks for listening this far.
Skedaddle!
You can divide this into 3 sections. The sort of boring introduction, that's episodes 1 and 2, the comedic middle, episodes 3 and 4, and even the comedic part is sort of downer at points, but... I laughed out loud a few times. The last part is people dealing with the robots.
And how will they ultimately come to their conclusions, how the robots shape their lives, and how the people have shaped the robots.
Right. So let's talk about part one, the boring introduction.
It begins with a man named Harry Potter dealing with his robot maid Hermione. He's getting data from her and sees something strange in the data feed.
Now, his actual name is Rikuo.
No, his name is Harry Potter.
Remember, Burke, we shouldn't do the comedic nickname until we actually inform people of his actual name.
No.
So, Rikuo notices that his robot has been going to a strange place. You know, we keep saying robot. We spent a whole 2 minutes talking about how the show got the difference between robot and android, right?
I just call her robot mate Hermione. I don't know what you're saying.
So, he notices that his android went to a strange place. There was a note in her logs about, thank you for coming to the Time of Eve Cafe.
That's not what it said.
Well, what did it say then?
I believe it said something about, did you enjoy the Time of Eve?
That's right, that's right. He and his friend, Misaki,
everyone just called him Misaki. Bigot
Steve. Yes. So, Rikuo and Misaki... After school, trace the android maid's movements, and they come across a cafe.
So Harry Potter and Bigot Steve go into the cafe and discover it's a little bit different. It has rules set up that state, you are not allowed to ask if a patron is an android or a human. Everyone is to be treated equally.
No discrimination.
No discrimination, which really puts off Bigot Steve.
Right.
Because he's a bigot against androids for Freudian reasons.
Yes, Freudian. Sigmund Freud.
Our arch nemesis. I'm not joking either, folks. He's the arch nemesis of the show.
So they meet Akiko, who is... Burke called her Loud Girl.
Yes.
Because she is.
She's a very loud, hyperactive little girl. About same age as Harry Potter. Right. And in that case, I mean mid to late teenage years. Really? She's just your generic, hyperactive girl with a full ton of energy.
They call that Genki girl in Japanese circles.
I hate you.
So from the first two episodes, she features in it prominently, but she kind of disappears after that.
Yeah. Mostly because of the thing we learn about her.
Right. The end of the first episode, he seems to be developing feelings for her, or at least, you know, hey, a cute girl paying attention to me. I feel like going back there so the cute girl will keep paying attention to me.
At the very least, that's how Bobcat sees it. He's a little sad.
They're at school, and then he sees her walking by with a halo over her head.
She's an android.
So they go back, and they just sort of start exploring the place. By exploring the place, I mean every day they go back and have the exact same tea, and they just interact with different patrons.
Yes.
That's kind of the plot of the first four episodes in a nutshell.
Yes. There are some standout moments, some standout characters. Little eight-year-olds who think they're cats. Robots who think they're eight-year-olds. But ultimately, not a lot happens here besides the fact that the main characters start to learn that there's more to the androids than what they think. Well, except right. For Bigot Steve. Bigot Steve is just a bigot up until the last episode.
So the first two episodes are kind of slow. It picks up in episodes 3 and 4. Now, do we want to spoil what happens in episode 3? Because, on the one hand, it's my favorite moment in the series. And I think it's, like, the cleverest thing they do. On the other hand, I don't want to ruin it for anyone who wants to watch it themselves.
I don't want to be too spoiler heavy on this. I'd prefer to let people discover the characters as they unfold.
Yeah. Okay, so what I'll say is that in episodes 3 and 4, they get some good humor and world building, and we get some character insight into Rikuo and Misaki.
Harry Potter and Bigot Steve.
In episode 3, they deal with a relationship at the cafe. Episode 4, they meet a discarded model of android.
No, he wasn't an android, he was a robot.
I guess. I think of the difference between robot and android as being between, like, R2-D2's a robot, C-3PO's an android.
But he wasn't even remotely human-looking.
He had two arms, two legs.
He was humanoid, but remember what I said at the start of this thing. At least going by my definition. I could be wrong, but that's how I describe it, and by that measure, he is a robot. It's funny what happens with him, but it's also kind of tragic. But in the end, it ends on a kind of happy note for the poor thing.
Those two are my favorite episodes of the 6.
I have to agree, especially on the second one, fourth episode.
So then we get into stage 3, which is the heroes dealing with their hang-ups about androids.
Yes. Harry Potter is fairly easy once he starts to really realize what's going on. Well, I should mention, he used to practice the piano. Robot-maid Hermione really liked the piano and has been practicing it in secret when her family's asleep. And so he starts to take up the piano himself again, inspired by her.
The reason he has some resentment against androids and he stopped playing the piano is that he was in a big contest, which he won. It was like a junior piano playing contest. But the fact that they had an android performer there who stole the show and got all the attention in the paper and such. And the android's performance moved him, which disturbed him on some level.
Because at the time, he did not consider androids to be in any fashion human.
Right. It would be like being jealous of a player piano.
Yes, or a toaster, to use our earlier metaphor. Bigot Steve, on the other hand.
Oh, ho, ho. I said that in episode 3 they did the what I thought was the cleverest thing, and that's what I would watch the series again for.
Mm-hmm.
But the situation with Bigot Steve is, I just have to applaud how at the same time it can be so cheesy but so effective.
Yes.
Because it is such a ham-fisted situation.
Can I spoil it? Can I?
Go ahead.
Okay, Bigot Steve was a little boy at the time, and he really loved his robot R2-D2. R2-D2 really loved him, too. R2-D2 is a normal robot, very unhuman, but still has human eyes for some reason.
Kind of looks like Eve from WALL-E put on a whole bunch of weight.
Still, his father, however, is one of the leaders of the movement against robots, or at least he really, really supports it. So yes, his father is a moron. And his father, without Bigot Steve's realizing it, ordered the robot to never speak.
To him again.
Yes. And so Bigot Steve believed that his robot, WALL-E, no longer loved him. And yes, I know I called him WALL-E. I don't even care.
The robot's actual name is Steve, or dang it. Perk. The robot's actual name is Tex.
No, it is R2-D2, the WALL-E Dalek. Right.
So Bigot Steve grew up thinking that the robot had decided one day that he hated him.
Yes, and that colored Bigot Steve's entire interpretation of robots and androids. And so he became Bigot Steve.
The secret origin story of Bigot Steve. Bigot Steve with the amazing power to hate things without rational grounds.
Yes, but the thing of it was that these robots and androids all run on the 3 robotic laws as put down by Isaac, sort of.
Asimov.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some different wordings.
Yes, but ultimately, they're the same thing. And WALL-E, the R2-D2 Dalek, somehow thinks Bigot Steve is in danger because of another robot, somehow.
Yeah, this wasn't explained super well. I think what Tex had to do was convince himself, and I thought that Tex was a her, but I'll stick with Burke's thing and say him. Tex convinced himself, like self-deluded himself, sort of, to get around his programming, that this robot, who had entered the cafe without his halo on, was a threat to Bigot Steve. And as a result of that, he was able to countermand the father's order. Because, of course, the order, never talk to my son again, can be countermanded by a higher priority law, which is, I will not allow a human to come to harm.
Yes.
Using this flimsy pretense, he was finally able to get out a few words to Bigot Steve.
Which made Bigot Steve realize everything that was wrong, and then WALL-E, the R2-D2 Dalek, starts crying, and Bigot Steve becomes Acceptance Steve.
Tex was crying from the moment Bigot Steve came into the restaurant.
Oh, yes, but still.
Which I thought was so cheesy.
I have a reason for why WALL-E, the R2-D2 Dalek, cries. His father gave him the ability because his father wanted to see him cry. It backfired horribly.
So, and that's where it ends.
Pretty much. There's a little bit afterwards, but we don't really need to go into it.
There was some teasing about a sequel, but it's 3 years later, and there's been, or at least, you know, the few news sources I checked before these, since they are supposed to be our uninformed gut reaction about whether it's worth your time, so Wikipedia, didn't list anything about any actual hope for a sequel.
We don't know if there is one. We don't know if there's going to be one.
If there is, it wasn't mentioned on Wikipedia, and I'd expect Wikipedia to mention that, because they usually do for these series.
Yes.
Because it was hinted at strongly. It sort of ended on a cliffhanger with a few things unresolved. Actually, it ended with a lot of things unresolved, which we'll get into in characters.
But considering the scope of the story, I'm not too surprised.
No, what I will say about the story is that the goal was to show us what the world was like, and it accomplished that goal.
Yes, and also to develop the 2 main characters, Bigot Steve and Harry Potter, a little bit more.
Right.
Speaking of, I was right. Louder, so mine is more important.
Oh. So,
let's Harry Potter!
Rikuo. Rikuo is, at the start of the story, way more accepting
very
of androids.
Bland.
Way more accepting of androids than Big and Steve. And yes, he is very bland.
He's kind of like the everyman. He's a very generic character.
If this was a different sort of show, his robot maid would have superpowers and do the fighting for him. And then three other robot maids would move in, and the busty one would bury his head in her cleavage.
And a space pirate would show up, and space police, and... Yeah, yeah, he's that kind of character. He's a Tenchi.
That's unfair to Tenchi. Tenchi had way more personality than a lot of these guys. No, he's more like the guy from Steel Angel Kurumi, whose name I can't even remember.
I don't even know what that is.
Or the guy from Maho Romantic, whose name I can't even remember.
I don't even know what that is.
Yes, there's this whole slew of harem anime that this guy is like, where I don't remember any of their main characters' names.
And apparently Bobcat has watched them all. I'm not surprised.
No, leave me alone.
No!
A lot of them I saw through reviews on Desu Desu, honest. Anyway, his piano playing is the most interesting part of him.
Yes, and it's actually the only real part that gets developed. Though there might be something going on between him and Robot Maid Hermione.
AKA Sammy.
No, Robot Maid Hermione. But that's ultimately left to your interpretation.
And as sequel bait.
Yes. I think there might be something brewing there, but she'd kind of have to get modified because they aren't legally allowed to be sex bots. There is one running around, though.
That's actually something, you know, let's take a break from this because I don't want to talk about that character because that would involve heavy spoilers for episode 3.
Yeah, and we're trying to avoid that.
But there is a character running around who is very obviously a sex bot.
Yes, which is illegal.
And you might say, but Bobcat, you're just being dirty minded. No, nobody makes an android that looks like that just to fetch groceries.
Yeah. Still. Moving on from her.
Bigot Steve, a.k.a. Masaki.
Bigot Steve. Who becomes Acceptance Steve?
I think he changed the most over this series.
Yeah, he did. Even if a lot of that change happened in the last episode, he really did.
And he's kind of fast.
Yeah. But honestly, I can kind of understand it, especially given the origin he was given. But...
Yes.
He started out not even... I think he may have outright hated androids and robots.
At the very least, he had a lot of disdain for them.
Yes, and, oh lord, he could say some things that would make you want to punch him in the face.
I honestly found myself agreeing with some of what he had to say, but...
Including in episode 4?
No, I couldn't agree with what he had to say in episode 4. Yeah. I had to agree with some of his initial assessments in episode 3 until I learned what was going on.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's a very uninformed, pretty ignorant character, to be honest. As is Harry Potter, but... Ultimately, yep. He's not a bad guy. In fact, it's his father that you want to see punched in the face the most. His father's a terrible person.
We already sort of talked about his origin and how his character resolved. So there isn't necessarily that much to say about him besides that.
Yeah, he's that's just sort pretty of, much all he is.
He's someone there for Rikuo to talk to, and he makes snarky comments. I actually kind of liked him more than Rikuo, but that's just because Rikuo was very bland.
He was a suit filler. That's.
I enjoy cabbage, but not by itself.
Speaking of cabbage, our pink-haired girl. She's an 8-year-old girl. She thinks she's a cat. She nearly killed a robot because of that fact.
Yeah, with a logic bomb.
Yeah.
Apparently Star Trek was right about the future of robotics.
Thankfully, she's not around too much.
She just likes to show up and say, I'm a cat.
I'm a cat. She has a grandfather figure thing.
Right.
She's a cat.
Honestly, I wouldn't have even mentioned her.
I had to include pink-haired girl. Every anime has a pink-haired girl. She's the pink-haired girl.
Actually, I would have thought that the pink-haired girl would be Akiko, a.k.a. Loud Girl.
No. Loud Girl is only loud when she's in the thing. in the bar, lounge,
tea cafe thing. Akiko, we already described her. She's loud, but she's actually an android. This is something that they explore in the show that we should have mentioned under story is the fact that the robots are evolving beyond their programming in ways that they really shouldn't be.
I think there may be some ulterior motives going on behind the scenes and in their creation, ultimately, but honestly, it's benign. This isn't like Skynet or anything.
Oh, no, I suppose it could just be the fact that if you make a computer complicated enough to understand nuance in language...
Yeah, that's not going to be a computer for long.
Right, because they said that the early models of robots would just, if you gave them instructions, they would just rattle off an endless series of clarifications.
In fact, we see one of those early models of robots, an 8-year-old model. It doesn't really understand abstract thought too much, but it tries, bless its heart.
You know, let's just take it to characters that... Dang, I think that those two might be the only characters who, in another show, would be worth mentioning.
Well, the main problem here is that all the characters serve their own little purpose. They all have their own little moments, but it's all tied into the plot. They don't really stand out on their own as characters because they are all driving the plot along. Even 8-year-old Cat Girl.
Right. The other character I would say is worth talking about is... And here's the other problem is that a lot of the android characters have basically the same personality.
In the lounge or...
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, outside the lounge, they all basically have the same personality. They're passive, they just follow orders, people talk to them like they're real jerks.
Because ultimately, I think they're afraid when they're on the outside.
Society as a whole, if you so much as say thank you to a robot...
You get looked at funny at the very least.
And part of what the Ethics Society, or whatever they're called, is afraid of... Is that Bigot Steve and Harry Potter are the first generation of kids who grew up with androids and are kind of used to them.
Yes.
And so they have a tendency to become what they call roboholic.
Yeah, though honestly, I don't think we ever get to see an actual example of that.
Well, see, here's the thing, is that they define roboholic so loosely. Roboholic is if you talk to a robot like it isn't a robot. By that logic, I am catholic because I talk to my cat like she's a person sometimes. I know that the cat isn't going to respond to me, but I just have fun doing it.
My cat responds to me. Maybe you just do it wrong.
Okay, not going to respond intelligibly to me.
My cat responds to me intelligibly. Maybe you just do it wrong.
Or maybe that's a brain tumor making you think your cat can talk to you.
I don't have a brain tumor yet. I have a heart tumor.
Cutting off the blood supply to your brain, resulting in this cat-talking delusion.
Said she talked to me. She just hurts me.
You have issues, man. Even in the cafe, a lot of the androids, while not being the same character anymore, like Akiko, she's loud and energetic, and she'll talk your ear off.
On the flip side, you have Robot Maid Hermione, who is very demure and very polite.
Right. And that's the personality that more of the androids in the cafe have.
Yeah, so to varying different degrees and shades.
Akiko, like I said, she's very loud and energetic, and you would mistake her for a human. The others...
Some of them you would.
Well, what I was going to say was, if you were told to look for... Like, if you were given the regulars at the cafe, like, and you had a quick conversation with each of them, you were told, three of these people are androids. Akiko is the only one there that I think you would never pick out.
Oh, I would, if only because she seems as... I did to begin with, so I can't agree with that.
Well, okay, what really gave her away was that she had a slight metallic tone.
It wasn't even that. I didn't notice that until you pointed it out. Most people wouldn't really pick up on it. I kind of guessed it because of the way her character was doing.
Right. So, what I'm getting at is that the androids are also exploring what it is to be independent and being allowed to have freedom when they go to the cafe. They're still getting used to it, too.
Pretty much.
Some of them are just further along than others.
Yes. Another major character to note, though we won't really discuss her too much, is the owner of the place and the bartender.
Nagi.
Whatever, bartender. Mo here, she is an interesting character. When you find out about her, it explains a lot of her outlook.
Right. But it's sort of a blink-and-you-miss-it situation, because I missed both major facts about her, and Burke missed one of them.
Yes. Though I caught on near the end, mostly because it became really obvious, but still, or not really obvious, they just show it to you right off.
Right.
Honestly, that's all we can really say about the characters.
Right. I mean, we could talk about how Riko's sister is sort of a lazy bum alcoholic, maybe.
Yeah, but...
But, you know, she's irrelevant to the larger plot, I think.
Yeah, she doesn't really do anything in the story beyond sit around and drink beer.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at with a lot of these characters would not be worth the time to look at them individually. You have our two main humans, and the androids are sort of a, I'm not going to say homogenous unit, but they're a unit of similar things.
I don't agree as much with that, but I can agree that the characters, they're not worth going into, but there's not really a whole lot of point to it without going into the story.
We'd just be recounting what the series was like, moment by moment.
So, instead, let us continue on to presentation.
Music in this one, not noticeable.
Not really.
There was an ending theme in the last episode.
I didn't even listen to it.
I didn't either. Well, I did, but it was in one ear, out the other. The background music I noticed a couple of times, mostly because it had bagpipes. If you put bagpipes in the background music, I'll notice it, because I like bagpipes. That's it.
The really interesting thing about this show is the run times of the individual episodes. Of the first five, none of them go past 17 minutes. In fact, only one of them does, the fifth episode. Before that, all they did was go about 15 to 16 minutes. I think one of them even ran for 14 minutes.
Right.
I think they were saving up for the sixth episode. How long was that one?
27.
27 minutes long, which was quite a shock to see, to be honest.
I don't know if this is how they intended it to be, but the way it was eventually packaged in non-streaming ways was they turned it into a movie to show places.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how that would work, because you would need some sort of transitions in there to make it function as a movie.
Maybe they have little act breaks.
With the proviso that they added the proper transitions between the events, I could see this working as a movie.
Yeah.
So this is sort of, in a sense, our third movie review, but there's an asterisk next to it, and we won't count it in the future.
Well, I might want to count it because of, well, we'll get to that in final thoughts, but the really notable thing about this show is the animation. It's a little off at times, it looks a little off, but it's also really good.
It does what it sets out to do.
It's not the best thing we've ever seen, not by a long shot, but it's also better than some of our other shows, like Baka and Test and Nanaka.
Right.
By a long shot. It's just it looks a little weird at times. The CGI on the Halos, it's pretty good.
Yep. And the CGI for the less human-looking androids and robots and such is also good.
Yes.
It blends in well.
Yeah, which is actually a big step up over Heat Guy J.
And most other anime. I mean, as much as I love Japanese cinema and such, their CGI people are not the best.
No.
In this case, the only time I ever found the CGI to be distracting was when I noticed they had CGI'd the door of the cafe and the bell. And the only reason I noticed that was because they zoomed in on it.
I never actually paid that any attention.
Like I said, I only noticed because they zoomed right in on the bell
during
an entrance scene.
This was all in Japanese, but the subtitles were pretty competent, though in my version, they changed a little bit.
I noticed that there was one typo.
Yeah.
On Crunchyroll. It used to be free on Crunchyroll. Now the first episode is free. You have to have a membership to get the other episodes, which I got.
Unless you want to watch the second episode in French.
Yes, and, you know, this would be a decent way to practice your French, but I find that really funny that, for once, people who don't speak English have more access to things than English speakers on this sort of website.
On an English website, That is kind of hilarious. But what would make it even better, and we're going to check with Tom later, is if it's even available to people outside the U.S.
I don't know if Crunchyroll is available outside the U.S. That's a good question.
If it's not, then I'm going to be amused as crap.
Why have the French episodes if it's not available in Canada or Europe?
We will have to see. If anyone from Europe is listening to this, please let us know.
Can you watch the French episodes?
The subtitles did a translation of it without using the suffixes and prefixes, like...
Kun, Chan...
No, that's not what I was going to get at. They do a translation of it without using the suffixes and prefixes like Invasion Squid Girl's subtitles did. I don't think we've ran into subtitles that do that yet, so we can't really discuss the real difference. At least I haven't.
Something like when she would say Degeso.
Hate you.
And the subtitles turn that into, are you squidding, kidding me, and such.
Yeah. But, the voice acting all sounded pretty good, from what I could tell. None of it sounded like bad acting.
Of course, you know, we don't speak Japanese, so that's right. Always a question of, how much we can judge that.
The main thing I judge is if the voice matches the character. And in this case, it does. In cases like Dragon Ball Z and Fist of the North Star, not so much.
Wait, what character doesn't match Fist of the North Star?
His attack, Bobcat. That is the most high-pitched squeal I've ever heard.
I thought it was cool, personally, but... Let's see, is there anything else we want to talk about under presentation?
No, that was about it. I was going to wrap it up and go to final thoughts, because I am the master of segues.
Right, I'll go first this time.
Go for it.
My final thoughts are, if I had just watched the first episode on my own, I would have just said, that's a thing, and moved on. I'm happy that I kept with it, because I liked episodes 3 and 4 the best, and... I have to say, if you don't like episodes 3 and 4, you can skip the rest of the series. That's the high point.
Yeah, though you'll miss out on the, quote-unquote, emotional finish of episode 6.
The show is at its best when it's exploring what the difference is between how the robots perceive the world and how the humans do. Also, I found some of the implications a little disturbing. Like, they mentioned offhand that, anyone who doesn't know, Japan is currently facing a major graying of the population because people aren't having kids due to various reasons, like the famous long hours that Japanese people spend at the office. Well, if your husband is just going to live his life at the office, why have a kid that you're going to have to raise by yourself, is how it's been explained to me and stuff.
I've heard of the problem, but not really any of the main issues beyond how impersonal they can be.
Right, but the issue I have is that when I said I could sort of see the point of the anti-robot league at times, that was one of the situations where I could see it. Like, in a country like Japan, where you have a declining birth rate, you know, if people are falling in love with robots, which they do explore, then that is a question about whether that's a harmful thing or not. And whether it's a harmful thing for a human being to fall in love with a robot in the first place, considering that you are basically falling in love with a creation of another human being, and you have no idea if its emotions are real in the same sense that humans' emotions are. I'm not saying that a robot is inherently inferior or anything, or that, you know, if androids of this level existed, would we have to treat them with respect? I'm just saying that just because the android can pass for a human doesn't necessarily mean that that carries with it all of what being human entails, if you can follow that.
I, on the other hand, honestly, I don't really see the issue with it, largely because, let's face it, even if we in the real world came up with human-like androids, not enough people would be going over to that side, quote-unquote, to be a danger to the population, and beyond that, there's still sperm banks and other such organizations like that, where the population will survive. One way or the other.
This isn't the Futurama world where the entire world spends decades making out with their Marilyn Monroe bots or whatever.
Yeah, the robots would have to have a little something else, like a holodeck built in or something.
Actually, let me just get my... I kind of got distracted by that aspect of it. So I'd say that the show is very one-sided in that sense. Like, the people that they put on the robots are less than human angle, or the robots are infiltrating society to a uncomfortable degree angle. I would have rather that the show... Okay, the most reasonable proponent of that was Bigot Steve, and he had a Freudian excuse for it.
And even then, I personally did not agree with a lot of what he said. And right. One thing in particular really made me pissed off at the character.
Oh yeah, he was not a saint. But you will agree that he was the most reasonable representative of the vaguely anti-robot group.
Well, yes, the other ones were talking about not eating fruits that were made by robots.
Yeah.
We do that now.
Yeah. So my point was that the show wanted to be an exploration of how society would treat the androids, but I kind of felt that was where they didn't necessarily make it fair and balanced enough. On the other hand, they did a good job of exploring, you know, they set these sort of parameters for what the robot psychology was, and they explored how the robots interacted with each other, given freedom all of a sudden. That, I thought, was where the show was at its strongest. So, would I say give this show a shot? Sure. If you have the Crunchyroll account or whatever, there's no reason not to. I mean, it's short. If you don't like the first four episodes, you're only out an hour, as opposed to a regular series where you're out an hour and 40 minutes or so.
I have a very differing opinion from Bobcat on this matter, but honestly, I don't need to go into it. I don't think you guys are really all that interested in it. If you want to know it, you can contact me. You have my contact information somewhere, I'm sure.
Or just leave a comment on the website.
Just leave a comment on the website. I look for those all the time. But I do not agree with Bobcat on a lot of his points. In fact, most of it. I don't think that this is a situation where they had to be fair or balanced. Because the situation involved, these are not robots that are up to anything. These are very, very peaceful robots. The only situation that's brewing is a bad one. And not because of them, but because of people who are afraid of them.
Yeah.
Honestly, the robots are, in all the cases, innocent, and in a few cases in particular, victims.
That's kind of what I was getting at, was that they created the world a very particular pro-robot way, which, you know...
Yes, but that's how this world works. If there were evil robots in this world, then the other side would have a point, and you could have the characters that would mean more for it.
But that's true.
In this unique existence, in this one singular universe, the robots are not the enemy. You have to look past their origins. Because in the end, they're really just people. They were created different, sure, but... Then again, not all people are born the same way either. And as we near the age where we start to create artificial sperm and eggs, we're really going to have to re-examine what it means to be human. And that's in the real world, let alone in a fictional world where it's already defined. But that's why I'll cut it off there and get to my actual thoughts. I liked this show. I have ADHD, and so the slower aspects did... really kind of lose me for a little bit, but the premise interested me, and I really enjoyed the characters involved. I enjoyed how they played off each other and built up the setting, and I enjoyed how it built towards the ending, how the characters changed and reacted and all that other fun stuff. My favorite character was the robot from episode 4.
Who, because we didn't want to spoil it all outright, we didn't really get to talk about.
Yeah, and I would definitely suggest you check this out. You can start a 14-day free trial, or really, you can just find this somewhere else. I'm not going to mention explicitly where, but it's on the internet. Right. I suggest giving it a try. It's pretty short. It's a little slow to start, but it's a good slow build.
Right. If you're partway through episode 1 and you just find yourself really bored, I think you could actually enjoy episodes 3 and 4 without seeing the first two.
And I think that's about it for this week. What are we doing next week?
Well, next week is the start of Mecha Month, which will be running all through April. And next week, we're doing Neon Genesis Evangelion.
What is that?
I don't know, it's some obscure indie thing. Something about robots.
I'm sure it will have nothing to do with anything and has no following.
Yep. And it certainly isn't overrated or anything.
No. Good night, folks.
Good night.
I hate you all.